This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alec Baldwin as Trump on Saturday Night Live the other night. We didn't get to play that audio yesterday. It broke my heart because in a weird way, it's so strange. In a weird way, watching Alec Baldwin as Trump has been the only way I've found any sort of commonality or relation to Donald Trump himself.
You know what's really funny? When I saw Trump, our John DiDomenico, we filmed this weekend.
Another example, yep.
And I walked in and I go, "Hi, Trumpy, I'm so sorry about everything." And he was like, "I know." And then we started laughing. And then I was like, "Oh, God, I do kind of feel bad." Yeah. It's the only way to relate to him.
It's hard to watch somebody fall so far so fast. And to see him sort of unraveling right now and not acknowledging reality is difficult.
Yeah.
Even if I don't like him.
Well, it's not even him that's not acknowledging reality. I mean, I still follow people that support Trump wholeheartedly.
Sure, of course.
And I don't mind.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
That's a different thing. Yeah.
You know, here's what, and I said this on my Instagram, and I'll say it now because it really bothers me. People keep going, "Oh, 70 million Americans are mad about Trump, but you don't see them protesting and burning down buildings." And I just have to make it very clear once again, it's a sentiment I shared yesterday, that that's not why we started protesting.
At
we
all.
Started protests this year for Black Lives Matter, for George Floyd, and other communities that don't have a voice.
And
we didn't do it because we lost an election.
Let's clarify a couple of things, too. Hillary Clinton also beat him by 3 million votes four years ago, and nobody was burning things down. And also, furthermore, time and time and time again, we found with these Black Lives Matter protests that it's outside agitators, oftentimes white supremacists, who are coming into town from states away with their little renegade crews, and they're the ones starting these protests and starting the riots, actually, and actually burning things down and breaking windows. Well, so there's much more to that story.
When I posted that, I got a message yesterday from somebody that lives in Vegas, and she said, "Girl, they may not be rioting, but they are going to parks, and they are bullying still people with blue shirts or pride flags. So it may not be making the news, but
Trumpers,
they're still retaliating." Yes.
Of course
they're
they are.
They're still retaliating.
Of course
and look,
they are.
I don't care if you support Trump, and I think there's extreme rights and extreme lefts, but I don't like that we're saying, "Oh, they're being so mature with this," because they're not. And even yesterday, I almost had a meltdown on a girl. She tried coming for you.
Oh, yeah.
And she then deleted her post because you ended up so eloquently saying, "You're spreading my message and it makes you look bad."
Well, she's wild. So there's this girl who's got a million followers or so on Instagram, and she's always been super supportive of me. She watches me on the Wendy Williams show. She always comments whenever I'm on red carpet and tells me how fly I look. But then all of a sudden, she like just shifted, and she's like this big conservative now, which is wild. Blonde hair, big boobs. She's got like this look. She wears like tight American dress flags. And I feel like she realized that she could get Instagram followers if she was just
if she followed
controversial.
Tommy Lawrence.
Yeah. And so she kind of came for me yesterday after I posted something about like American, like white history and how we struggle with slavery through the Civil War to now, and this idea of losing anything. It's rooted in the Deep South, losing the Civil War, and many down there still believe that they did not lose the Civil War. And so that kind of is seeping into what we're seeing right now. Many followers of Trump, and I say followers because they are followers.
Yeah.
They're not supporters, they're followers. And the way that they're just not accepting reality that listen, you're going to have a new president and your vice president is going to be a woman of color. And that's hard for a lot of people. And I don't say that to be mean or say, but it is hard for a lot of white people to wrap their brains around.
I wish you would have pulled this audio. Maybe we can do it for the next News on the Beat. Our program director sent it to us, you know, just a few years ago. Fox and other very conservative...
Oh, 2 years ago, 2018.
Yeah, as a conservative host were saying, oh, the Dems just can't grip with reality.
Yeah, they want to keep counting votes and finding secret votes
fraud.
And recounts. And yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was a compilation done by Trevor Noah because it just shows the absolute hypocrisy of everybody on the right who are saying, oh, this is... It's not done. Keep going. Well, it is done.
Yeah.
It's fine. The votes... And they're saying the media doesn't call... Well, the media has always called it.
Yeah,
the AP, like it's how things are done here. So it's really interesting. Hey, good morning, by the way.
Hey, good morning. I know. Listen,
it's like there's so much that goes on
today.
Every night. We have so much to catch up on by the time we get on the air in the morning.
I know.
So here we are.
That was enough news for you. Let's go into a little weather. Let you know where you're sitting. It's going to be a high of 73 in New York today, 66 in LA, 59 in Vegas. That is so cold for my Vegas fam. 70 in Palm Springs and 82 in Houston. It'll be nice in Houston. Now give us a vibe of the day.
Oh gosh, this vibe is easier said than done, but we could all use it, myself included. No matter what happens in life, be good to people. Being good to people is a wonderful legacy to leave behind. You know who said that?
Who?
Taylor Swift.
Oh, we love Taylor Swift.
That's good.
All right, you guys. Well, coming up, TikTok is swooning over election analysts. Find out how and which analysts won big this election season with Instagram fans. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
All right, we'll look out in Arizona first. I think we're waiting here because it's the West Coast where I think we're going to wait more for the count. But you see Joe Biden at 68,390 votes ahead. You can look at that if you haven't been with us for the last few days and say, okay, that's a pretty healthy lead. If you've been with us for the last few days, that's a shrinking lead. And we can go back and play that out for you here.
If you're a fan of CNN, you know John King, you know that voice, you know he spends most of election coverage in front of the big wall, the touch screen, which just not that many years ago seemed like the most incredible technology. It's basically a huge iPhone or an iPad turned on its side, and it breaks down all the election coverage from across the country. I've been watching him for a long time. He's now going viral on TikTok, though. Because the hashtag John King has 2.5 million views. Because what happens is, a lot of times CNN did this. They did this over at MSNBC as well. They're actually live webcams in the room, in the studio, while they're on camera. So kids on TikTok are using that footage, who are maybe paying attention to an election for the very first time, and they're making TikToks out of it. And this guy has gone viral.
Well, it's amazing because yesterday I was scrolling TikTok and I started seeing like election analysis daddies. And then I started looking at them and they are kind of hot.
Well, I saw something that had gone viral during the election last week. It was John King and somebody's like, oh my God, I've been watching so much election coverage. This guy's starting to look like a total daddy to me right now. And it was John King who's like old.
No, but they are. I mean, they all kind of are. And I think that like we're so bored that when they're talking, you know, when people talk like smart. And they're like doing numbers.
It's like,
you're
that's
like
kinda hot.
This is kind of like nerdy, but cool.
But also, the interesting thing about social media nowadays is, like I said, they have these webcams everywhere. They also had them in all of the vote counting station locations across the country too, so that people feel more comfortable, like there's transparency. So there's nothing fishy going on behind the scenes, which is why they also did this. They also want to build out their coverage online and get you to stay tuned in around the clock. So people are watching him. Well, I follow somebody else. Her name is Abby Phillips. She is a commentator for CNN as well. She started working covering the Trump administration at the White House as a White House correspondent in 2017. This is her first election night officially. Let's take a listen to her.
This president clearly knows that this is not going to end well for him, or he believes that. And he's trying to take the rest of the country down with him.
Yeah.
He's trying to take the voting system down with him, the democratic process down with him. And beyond being completely selfish, it also is just wrong.
You know, it's so funny because years ago, being, you know, an election analyst wasn't something that was like cool. You wouldn't want to gain like an Instagram following. Like none of that is a thing. And your kids did not think you were cool either.
I started following her last week. She's 31 years old.
So
she's
young.
Incredible. And this was her first night. She was on with Dana Bash. She was her counterpart for a lot. And Dana's been there forever. Used to be married to John King, actually, randomly. Yes, back in the day, they were married. And watching her hold her own with these these analysts who've been there through many, many elections, but to stand up against the Trump administration in the White House for a couple of years like she did and to cover that White House is pretty incredible.
Well, if you look at Kayleigh McEnany, she's the same age.
Yeah.
And the difference between the two is incredible.
The choice, because Abby's very straightforward, but she's also very just, she's genuine. And when I started like checking her out maybe a week or so ago, she had maybe 20,000 followers. She has about 160,000 followers on Instagram right now. So people really related to her. And also, not only is she's of her family's from Trinidad and Tobago. She has some roots there. So she's a black woman with a strong voice, which is really awesome. But I will say, though, the highlight, especially for those in our community, gay men in particular, of the 2020 election, not Joe Biden, maybe not even Kamala Harris, Steve Kornacki.
Oh, my God. We love. Oh. I have to say, I didn't know who he was. So I was Googling it. He's so hot. But also, I don't know if we have the audio of this, but he actually has a message about his children, which cracked me up as an aunt. He says, I just want to thank everybody because I got a little street cred from my son now that I'm like kind of cool on TikTok. His son is 9 years old. Oh, it's not that. I'm sorry, it's John King.
That was John King.
I'm sorry, it's not.
I was like, Steve Kornacki's gay.
I know,
That doesn't mean he can't have kids, of course. But he's hot. He's young, too, though. Yeah. How old is Steve Kornacki? He's maybe 30 as well. He's not that old. What I love about Steve Kornacki is that he literally, you watch the webcams of him, he's total 31 also, just like Abby Phillip.
Wow.
34. Oh, 41. Come on, Justin. Use your words, Justin, our producer. Steve Kornacki was a little hottie. He'd roll up those little white sleeves. He had his hair all disheveled all the time. He was always running around on camera with all these messy notes like in his hand, like sheets of paper, and just a hot mess. But let's just let you listen to Steve Kornacki as we take it out.
Hey, everybody. Well, you may not recognize me. There's no giant touchscreen behind me, but Steve Kornacki here. And I just wanted to say I saw after I finally left the studio all these incredibly, you know, kind and friendly and nice messages everybody had on social media there. I just wanted to say thank you.
It's that time again, Michaela Gordon, where we set aside just a few minutes for one another because we love each other and we support each other. It's checking in.
Yeah, honey.
How are you? It's been 1 week since Election Day, which is wild to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Because every week in this year feels like 8 months, but also feels like 8 minutes. It's this weird thing we're living through in 2020 where the time just feels different. Have you experienced that?
Yeah, it's wild. I've never experienced anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say I'm in really good spirits. I talked to one of my very dear friends yesterday, and he was sort of going through it. He has a lot just going on in his mind and in his heart, like so many people do.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, go do something that you love to do. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. If it makes you happy or it makes you feel, you know, disconnected for a minute. And then he did, and he texted me back, and we had our own little conversation. But I just have to say, like, right now, you really got to do things that make you happy, whether it's comedy, mm-hmm. whether it's singing, whether it's just going out to, you know, get food and bringing it home, whether it's going for a run. You just really got to be taking care of yourself right now.
Cook a new recipe. Try something new. Make an Indian dish for the first time if you love it and you've never tried to make it at home. Like, or whatever it is. That's a random. I'm obviously hungry for Indian food early in the morning. I like some chicken korma, please.
There you go.
Basmati rice. Saffron rice, actually.
I love saffron rice.
Yeah, that's really great advice. I'm actually giving my first keynote tomorrow.
Yes, you are, honey. This is the first time you've spoken 8 months.
Since the pandemic, and I was keynoting quite a bit, and I had a lot of stuff on my schedule through the pandemic, and then it all just went away. And, you know, the day we locked down and back, mid-March, I think it was. And so I'm excited. It's a virtual one, so that's interesting. Giving a keynote from my desk is really wild. But yeah, that's one of my bits of advice, too, is like, hey, do something that you love. Like, do something right now that you love, as opposed to constantly being in this cycle of let's survive. And that's very real. And people have bills to pay and they have kids to raise or families to take care of. I understand that. But you have to set aside a little bit of time to do something you love. Try something new. Change it up a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, I will say for me, don't underestimate laughing. Like, even if it's just a phone call with one of your funny friends or sharing a funny joke, when I can get to laughing, I feel like
a different person.
The cure of all things.
It's true.
I love laughing. When you get a snort out, it's perfect.
Well, and we oftentimes, I feel like, and this is probably during this pandemic, you know, it's so easy to think that you're the only one in the world going through it, because it's easy to be consumed by our own emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you look through your phone and you're like, I haven't called my sister in 4 months. That's weird, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then you realize, like, has it been that long?
Well, that's what I was talking with yesterday with my friend. I said he lost somebody that he loves very much, a good friend of his. He passed away last week. And he said, I just feel so bad. I should have called more. Mm-hmm. I should have called. Like, I don't know what happened. And I said, babe, we're in a pandemic. Like, you haven't even heard from your best friends, your family members. Like, it's okay if time has gone by. And also, it's okay to pick up the phone now and call them.
Yeah,
I think this year you don't get to hold anything against yourself.
Yeah, you got to show yourself grace and show others grace, because they're also, if they're not calling you as often as you'd like, they're also
going through
stuff. My best friend from high school lost her dad to COVID a few weeks ago. And at first, I was checking in on her all the time. And I even said to her, I'm thinking about this now live on the air. I said to her, I'm going to keep checking in on you after this, after you've had his funeral, after you've moved on, after people stop bringing over casseroles as they do in Ohio, and I'll keep checking in on you, because I know it's hard. At this first couple weeks, people check in on you a lot, and then they forget.
Yeah.
And they go back to their lives.
Yeah.
I'm realizing right now I haven't checked in once.
Well, that's okay. You're a good example and a reminder that that's what we need to be doing and to show yourself some grace.
That's real.
All right, you guys. Well, coming up, a lesbian Christmas movie. I'm so excited. I saw the trailer. We have that in What's Poppin'.
Wait, what did you say? A what kind of Christmas movie? What is it? A lesbian Christmas movie?
Lesbian!
Uh-oh, there it is. I just love it.
I love it, too. Now, we're not doing that story quite yet, thanks to What's Poppin', brought to you by California Psychics. But it is another gay story, a very gay story, about a high-profile actor who's saying, I'm not playing a straight character anymore.
Ooh.
And the reasons why, coming up next.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. It's time for What's Poppin', brought to you by California Psychics. Now, Michaela Gordon, what's going on in the world of pop culture?
Hello. Okay, so this story is wild, and I kind of am here for it. So Wentworth Miller is the star of Prison Break.
He's hot.
He's so hot, okay? And he's going into his seventh season, or is he? He did 6 seasons, and he's saying now he no longer wants to take part in any future seasons of the show because he's done playing straight men. So I don't know if you were aware, because I definitely wasn't, that Wentworth Miller was gay. He came out a few years ago.
Every gay man knows.
And he's so hot, but here's what he said. Number one, I'm tired of playing straight men. Their story's been told, and I don't want to do that anymore. But also, the hate that he was receiving on social media from Prison Break fans, it kind of went twofold. He said that people were in love with this fictional character and were angry that he was really gay and they wouldn't have a chance with him. So they were really kind of bullying him.
Get over it.
And then he said that then he was also just getting bullied by very homophobic Prison Break fans, and he just doesn't want to do that. He said, look, the static of social media does not bother me. I can block you, I can delete it, but I am taking a stand for other people in my position, for youth. It's just not right. And you know, he's receiving a lot of support. Sarah Wayne, Callies, who plays his wife, tweeted out with gratitude for all the work that we did together and with deep love, I'm voicing my support for that choice.
Well, Prison Break's really interesting. It's a very, very macho type of show. He played a very masculine character, and the show was on for a few years. They took a year off, then they shot another season. Rumors were that they were supposed to shoot another season like 2019, possibly 2020, and that hasn't happened, and now it probably won't happen because he plays an integral role in that show. I think it's great, though, because he's like the epitome of like a dude.
Okay, but what if like all of a sudden in Prison Break they were like, actually, let's have you keep going, but then you come out as gay?
Well, see, that would be a good play. Like, why not? You know, I haven't watched enough of the show to know if that's even a logical storyline, but like, why couldn't it be? What if all of a sudden he realizes like who he truly is?
Yeah.
I know in the show he's trying to break his brother out of prison. It was part of his storyline, but maybe all of a sudden he comes back.
He's breaking out of his own prison and he's gay.
We need to get in the
writers' room.
Yes.
Should we just recreate Prison Break?
Wentworth, DM us.
Oh, my God. Let us know. Come on the show. Actually, we should get him on the show.
We should get him on the show. Wow.
Yeah.
Real time.
All of these things are happening for us right now. All right. Well, this segment is brought to you by California Psychics. Maybe it's time to make a connection with California Psychics. Now, if it's not the best psychic reading you've ever had, it's free. Just visit CaliforniaPsychics.com or download the free California Psychics app and set up an account today. Trust me, you will not regret it. I loved my reading, and I know that you will too. Now, coming up in the next hour, Dr. James Simmons is joining us to discuss the possibility of a new vaccine. Thanks to Pfizer, will it mark the beginning of the end of a pandemic? Coming up next.
Democrats are being sore losers. They refuse to acknowledge they lost the election. So what do? They cry malfeasance, wrongdoing, criminality, fraud.
Democrats, more so than Republicans, seem to have a problem conceding defeat. Either the election system broke down or some mystery votes are hiding somewhere.
You have a whole series of Democrats who just said bluntly, if our candidate doesn't win, they stole the election.
I dubbed that a symphony of silliness, Michaela Gordon.
It's so beautiful. Also, so real. Well, like, it's the hypocrisy that we deal with. And listen, it's on both sides. Like, I'm not trying to, like, drag Republicans. But just hearing that back is so funny to me.
Well, this is
also, you look adorable right now.
Thank you.
What the listeners don't know is you're in the back. You're learning how to run the board. And you look like you're doing, you look like a professional.
Or I'm in the front.
Or you're in the front of the caboose. Yes, you are.
I'm in the back. So we're learning the board right now. Because listen, we're running on a very limited staff.
It's strange times.
It's a pandemic. So our producer, Justin, God love me, is trying to teach me some of this stuff. And it's wild. But it's exciting, though, too. It's very overwhelming, Justin. I have no idea how you do it. But no, these Republicans are wild. And that was put together by Trevor Noah. He's so good.
He's so funny.
Hypocrisy, but using humor to do it. It really speaks sort of just to liberals. I don't think a lot of Republicans are watching that and like, oh, yeah, we should do better. I don't think that's going on right now.
Yeah.
We're seeing that from the top of the Republican Party right now, too. Mitch McConnell is telling, you know, let's make sure we count every legal vote. That's the terminology they're using. They're really trying to toe the line between what Donald Trump is saying and what reality is telling them. But they're saying count every legal vote. It's a bit of a dog whistle, but it's also like they're trying to keep themselves safe.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
But what else is going on in news on the beat? Anything else besides politics?
Well, to go honestly on and off of that, Trump announced that he had fired Secretary of Defense Mark Esper over Twitter yesterday, and that Christopher Miller, the director of National Counterterrorism Center, would take over effective immediately. Now, the relationship between the president and Esper has been tense for a while now. This summer, Esper publicly broke with Trump over sending active duty troops to control protests against police brutality in American streets. His firing has raised concerns that other top national security officials who have earned Trump's wrath, such as CIA Director Gina Haspel and FBI Director Christopher Wray, could be next. That news actually came out right after we got off air. And I'll tell you, I drove home and I was like, oh my God, he's not going to let it go.
My partner's mother, she's down in Georgia, in Atlanta. Thank you, Atlanta, by the way. But she texted me this morning. She said, please keep me in your prayers. She's a woman of faith. Her husband was a pastor for 40 years. And she said, I can't watch the news anymore. It's too stressful. We celebrated, and now we're seeing what he's doing. She's like, I don't trust him. It's triggering for a lot of people who just do not trust it. He looks like a dictator right now, Trump does.
Yeah.
He's trying to hold on by firing people and replacing them with yes men, and it won't work, but it's going to be a stressful 70 days.
Well, let's talk about some more news. It's some good news for a change. The drug maker Pfizer said early data from its human coronavirus vaccine trial shows that it is more than 90% effective. It's a huge breakthrough in the global pandemic that has killed more than 1.2 million people. And experts say the news bodes well for other vaccines against COVID-19 too. Pfizer says it expects to have 50 million vaccine doses globally this year and 1.3 billion next year. Now, Monday also brought another glimmer of hope. The FDA says it had granted emergency authorization for Eli Lilly's antibody therapy to treat mild to moderate coronavirus infections in adults and children. But to continue that conversation, we're joined with Dr. James Simmons this hour to really break down what the vaccines mean. Because although it's exciting and it's promising, I know for myself, I don't want to be the first ones taking the vaccine.
Oh, honey, so I'm not getting in line anytime soon. You and I, if we choose to get the vaccine, and people our age and that are healthy, we're probably a year away or so from getting the vaccine.
Yeah.
The first rounds will definitely go to the elderly or those with pre-existing conditions, people who need it and who choose to take it, hopefully. But yeah, I feel a little bit better knowing that Pfizer was not part of this whole Project Warp Speed thing that Donald Trump was doing. They never took federal funding from that program. And so that makes me feel a little bit better. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, well, let's get into a little weather, shall we? It's going to be 84 in Miami, 59 in San Francisco, 66 in Phoenix, and 46, a high of 46 in Seattle.
A high of 46.
A high of 46. Yikes. Now give us a vibe of the day.
No matter what happens in life, be good to people. Being good to people is a wonderful legacy to leave behind.
I love that. Be nice.
That's right.
All right. Well, coming up, someone who's so nice. We love him so much. Dr. James Simmons joins us to discuss the possibility of a new vaccine. Thanks to Pfizer. Will it mark the beginning of the end of the pandemic? Coming up, we're back in 2 minutes.
You know, one thing I love about the holidays are all the holiday movies.
Yes.
Hallmark, Lifetime. This year, we're not seeing a lot of films coming to the big screen, obviously, because most of the country is still shut down as far as movie theaters go. But there are still new films coming out in different interesting ways. But one thing that I've never really thought about, and this is so often for many things, is the lack of LGBTQ plus representation.
Oh, yeah.
We just got used to watching a couple of straight white people usually fall in love, tell a holiday tale, and move on. Never really questioned it. That's all changing now. What's Poppin' brought to you by California Psychics. Michaela Gordon, take it away.
Well, this is amazing because not only is it an LGBTQ movie, it is a lesbian movie.
Okay, wait. I didn't know that part. Stop it.
Lesbian.
No. Never. Not, no. No.
Okay, we don't like
watch,
lesbians.
I have to watch lesbians fall
yeah,
in love now?
Yeah, you do. Get into it.
Fine, go ahead.
But it's with Kristen Stewart.
Okay.
Were you ever into that? Were you like team?
Nope.
Okay, see, I was
team Jacob all day long.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Because he was hot.
Not team Edward.
No, Jacob had abs and a
he was like a little werewolf,
bubble
right?
Butt.
He turned into a werewolf.
Gays were all team Jacob.
I'll
every
tell
one
you what.
Of us.
I got invited to his birthday one year. It was a small intimate gathering.
Taylor Lautner, by the way.
At a bowling alley.
Okay. What, was it like pins or something,
yes,
or Lucky Strike,
uh-huh,
or one of those cool
uh-huh
ones?
Mm-hmm. And I don't know how, it was the friend that I was with that I got to go with, and all I could think about was Team Jacob in my head, and I was like, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. I said it.
He was so hot.
I said, hello, Team Jacob. Now, okay, Kristen Stewart is starring in this film with her lover, played by Clea DuVall. And that's how you say it, right? Clea DuVall?
Well, the film is done by Clea DuVall.
I mean, the film
her
is done by Clea DuVall.
Her lover is played by Mackenzie Davis. Is that
yes
right?
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so they're very, very cute. They're going home for the holidays, but Mackenzie Davis's character, her family doesn't know that she's a lesbian.
What?
So they have a
plot twist.
The plot twist is incredible. Dan Levy has to come in and save the day as a gay best friend. We have some audio.
I just woke up thinking about going home with you and got very excited about Christmas. I get to go meet the people that made my favorite person.
I'll always take December away over summer.
Abby, you and Harper have a perfect relationship.
She is my person, and I really want everyone to know that. I want to marry her.
What are you doing on your phone?
I left a gentleman alone in my apartment, so I'm tracking him to make sure he leaves.
You're tracking him?
Yeah, I track everybody. If the NSA can do it, so can I.
I love Dan Levy.
It's so cute. And I have to say, I think that Kristen Stewart has had this reputation of like the like quiet, rebellious, wild type.
The brooding, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to see her like this, so cute, in a Christmas movie with Dan Levy, I already love it. The story is adorable. And Dan Levy has sort of a my best friend's wedding character,
yeah,
where Julia Roberts' best friend mm-hmm comes in and they think he's the straight boyfriend.
Yep.
Dan Levy at one point says, I am attracted to a woman. She is the woman. It's adorable. It's so funny. So make sure you check
it out. I do want to give you an update on the Taylor Lautner front, though, really quickly.
Please do.
He's 28.
Mm-hmm.
28. That's it? I feel so gross now.
They were like teenagers.
No, don't say that to me.
Yeah, they were.
Wow.
You and the rest of the world didn't think about that, but he was. All right, well, this What's Poppin' was brought to you by California Psychics. Maybe it's time to make the connection with California Psychics. If it's not the best psychic reading you've ever had, it's free. Visit californiapsychics.com or download the free California Psychics app and set up an account today, starting at only $1 per minute for new customers. It's amazing. I did it myself, and honestly, I really did love it. Now, coming up, is the firing of the Secretary of Defense the first domino to fall in Trump's final act? We discuss with Equality California's VP of Communications in Red, White, and Q coming up next.
Donald Trump sent shockwaves through the world last night or yesterday when he tweeted that he was firing Defense Secretary Mark Esper.
I want to talk about something quick.
Yeah.
And I want to bring it around the room. Because for me, we found out right as we were leaving air, leaving the show, and I got in my car and I was like, part of it hit me like a sadness. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be a really long 2 months. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of scared because as though we all want to think like, we're okay. Do we still have to like leave room that there is a small chance that he could still be president? And it kind of stressed me out.
I don't think he's going to be our president. It's not going to steal the election. He's going to try to cast doubt on it. So in 4 years, when he decides to run again or when he launches a TV network after this, he'll have a case. His followers will see him as a winner, that he fought to the very end, and that he didn't lose, but he fought against a corrupt system. No. That's how he'll frame himself.
Justin, your concern level.
Well, no, I'm not very concerned. What I think we're going to have is another 4 years of this election was rigged. It was all against me. And we're going to get rallies of him just juicing up his base for the next 4 years. Thankfully, he will not be in power.
Okay, so then I have another question. Maybe we could take this to tomorrow with like some you know.
Yes, he'll go to prison.
Well, yes, prison.
Very
but
possible.
But also, do you think we can grow enough in the next 4 years with Biden and Harris that even if he does try to be president in 4 years,
well, this is why the transition
so much growth.
Yeah, this is why the transition of power needs to be peaceful. He needs to say to his supporters, hey, congratulate Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. Give him a chance. Give him an opportunity to lead. And his argument is that Democrats did not do that. But I will tell you, Hillary Clinton conceded that next day. She called him. She conceded. She made a speech. She said, let's support him, let's get behind him and hope for the best and keep fighting for the things we believe in.
Mm-hmm.
He's not done that.
Mm-hmm.
He goes golfing instead.
Well, you also have to remember, it didn't take long for us to turn on to him because he had the biggest inauguration crowd of all time.
Of all time.
He lost by 3 million votes that were
73
wrong.
People showed up to his inauguration.
Like,
and we were not in the pandemic then.
I know. I had this woman in my DMs, and this is just honestly conversation because I think it's important to have.
That was an exaggeration, by the way. It wasn't 73.
No,
it was a few more.
I know that, Coco. But I do, there's people in our DMs. Obviously, we're giving everyone a voice, so we like to talk. But there was a woman that said there were protests after Trump went into office.
The women's march.
But to be clear, that wasn't, she said, a hashtag not my president. I said, but that was a human rights issue.
Yeah,
that was an issue on my body after the president said he was going to grab me by the pee.
Yep.
Like,
very
that,
different.
And it was so different because they were also trying to say, like, as far as you being able to choose the time of abortion, like, it was a whole fight.
Well, also, it's just very important to point out that he stokes these flames. He continues to incite this sort of violence, and he lost by 5 million votes, Donald Trump. He's not our president.
Yeah.
He's not going to be our president in a couple of months. It's going to get wild, though. It's going to get very, very wild.
I think so too.
And I'll just say this. I really, back in 2016, I really, really hoped that Trump was going to be a true voice of change and to be, something great for us. I was willing to give him that chance. It didn't take long for me to realize the change was not the change we wanted.
Well, the change was he used to be a Democrat for decades
and
all of a sudden became this right-wing, like, super conservative Republican because the religious right backed him. It was all self-serving. That's
but
all it was.
Somebody that works in this building came in yesterday to our studio and said Trump was amazing. Like, he was funny.
Very
he
different.
Was charming.
Power
we
changes
had
people.
Dinners, mm-hmm. And then something snapped in his head.
Well, Howard Stern has been friends with him for years and has said many times on his show, not to promote another radio show on our radio show, but it's Howard Stern.
Yeah.
We shared Donald Trump with him as well, our very own John
DiDomenico.
He said, listen, I don't know this guy. He did not think he was going to win. It was not the plan. He was trying to renegotiate a deal at NBC for The Apprentice and maybe launch his own stuff.
Yeah.
And then it happened and his ego took over. And it is what it is. And he'll be gone soon. But it's going to be a wild couple of months. I also do want to remind you, coming up in about 15 minutes to actually break down this conversation with a professional. Our political expert, Samuel Garrett Pate of Equality California, is going to be joining us. I also do want to remind you, if you missed our conversation in our last hour with Dr. James Simmons talking about this new breakthrough, Pfizer thinks they might have a vaccine that is 90% successful. That is a huge number. Anthony Fauci is cautiously optimistic about it. If you missed that conversation, head over to wearechannelq.com and listen to the whole thing right there.
Well, I think that was a good amount of news. Why don't we just go into a little weather, shall we?
We just did our own kind of news today.
Listen, it's the thing we'd be talking about if we did straight news.
That's right. Straight news. Well, funny. Like we would ever do that.
Oh, God.
We're gay.
Gross.
Yay.
It's going to be 68 in L.A. today, 59 in Vegas, 70 in Palm Springs, 81 in Houston, and 48 in Kansas City. Now, give us a vibe of the day.
No matter what happens in life, be good to people. Being good to people is a wonderful legacy to leave behind.
The
words
like that.
Of the great Taylor Swift.
Oh, thank you, Taylor Swift. All right, well, coming up is the firing of the Secretary of Defense, the first domino to fall in Trump's final act. We discuss with Equality California's VP of Communications in red, white, and Q. We're back in 2 minutes.
I am American. All right, it's time for red, white, and Q with our political expert, Samuel Garrett Pate. Now, the election may be in our rearview mirror, but Donald Trump and his presidency are not. Generally, a lame duck president might be a little quiet the last couple of months. But just yesterday, President Trump took to Twitter, as he often does, to fire Secretary of Defense Mark Esper. It's going to be a wild 70 days. Samuel Garrett Pate, please, you got me through this election. I text you relentlessly. You, in my mind, are the top political analyst on the planet. What's going on?
I don't want to claim that title. I mean, can't we all just like savor the fact that in just a couple more months, we're going to have a president who doesn't fire cabinet officials by tweet?
Yeah, but what's it going to look like? What's that journey to 2 months?
We're going to have a president that you don't even have to follow on Twitter.
I know.
Well, you know what, Samuel? I don't know if that's right, because a lot of Trump supporters and Trump himself said he absolutely did not lose this election, and to hold out hope because he's going to still come in with a win. I literally just had somebody slide into my DMs right now and say Trump is still going to win. I mean, is there any, in any way, capacity, form, that's still a possibility?
I mean, to be clear, he can't win. He can't win, right? I mean, we held an election. A majority of Americans voted. Majorities of Americans in enough states to reach 270 electoral votes voted for Joe Biden, right? It's not just that a majority of Americans voted for Joe Biden, which they did, 5 million more people than voted for Donald Trump. It's the individual majorities in enough states to give Joe Biden a majority of electoral college votes to win the presidency. So he can't win. He can attempt to undermine the integrity of the election. He can even go to court and try to steal the election. I think it'd be highly... I mean, first of all, we're not dealing with the smartest lawyers on the planet. I don't know if you saw, they held a press conference at Four Seasons Total Landscaping,
sure
thinking
did.
That they were at the Four Seasons Hotel. So not the brightest tools in the Four Seasons Landscaping.
But what's the play here? Why fire Mark Esper? What's the play? Mm-hmm. Is he just lashing out because
Mark Esper wasn't a yes man.
Okay, but what is that? Okay, but,
I mean, Donald Trump wanted Mark. I mean, this feud between him and Mark Esper goes back long before the election.
Yes.
The summer, Donald Trump wanted Mark Esper to send the military into cities where there were Black Lives Matter protests happening. And Mark Esper said, no, the military is not the police. The military, using military to enforce, for police power, to enforce local laws, should be the absolute 100% last resort, is what Mark Esper said to the president. And the president wanted to fire him, and his advisors convinced him that firing your defense secretary, a few months before the election, not a good look. So he waited until right after the election, and then he fired him. And what's most chilling is that in an interview with the Military Times, as he was on his way out, Mark Esper basically said, the person who's going to come in after me is going to be a yes man, and God help us all.
Okay, so that's what I want to focus on then. So if he fires him, he fires Bill Barr, he fires, who knows who else he could fire right now? What is the play? Like, what's the point?
Well, I think he's unlikely to fire Bill Barr because Bill Barr is a yes man and has demonstrated that over the course of the year, including just yesterday ordering DOJ lawyers to investigate claims of voter fraud. Now, he said investigate credible claims of voter fraud. There are no credible claims of voter fraud, so there's nothing to investigate. But, you know, it was a clear signal that he intends to do the president's bidding in terms of trying to undermine faith in the election. I mean, we have, there was a Wisconsin state legislator who the other day called for a revote. We don't have revotes. We don't. That's not something provided for in the Constitution.
It's not how it works.
So then I have a
question. I don't understand how this party of people who used to walk around handing out little pocket constitutions claiming that, you know, they were the party of upholding the Constitution is now calling for a revote.
Well, what's the word? We have 1 minute before we have to take a break for a quick second. What's the worst that could happen if Trump really gets his way? Is there any ground that he can stand on, or is it just we got to ride it out till the 20th of January?
I mean, they seem to have two strategies, right? One, I mean, or I would say they have three, only two of which are actually aimed at overturning the results. One of their strategies is just to undermine public confidence in the election, convince the, you know, 70 million people, 71 million people who voted for him that the election was rigged, that he was cheated, that, you know, the presidency was stolen from him. None of which is true. But if he can convince them of that, which he seems, you know, as you just said, Michaela, you've got someone sliding in your DM saying that Donald Trump's going to win. You know, that is bad for democracy because he's undermined public confidence in the election. The other two strategies, if you could call them that, one is that they're suing in states to try to claim that there was massive voter fraud, hoping that they'll be able to work their way up through the courts to get either the results, you know, invalidated or block state legislatures from certifying the results in time for the Electoral College to vote so that then it would go to the House of Representatives. I mean, this is their strategy, right? Or hoping that the Supreme Court would step in and somehow invalidate the results in enough states that he could become president. It's not likely, right? Their third strategy, which is concerning, is to convince state legislators to ignore the will of the voters and appoint electors based on who the state legislators want to be president, not who the voters want to be president. That one's more concerning. That's something we need to watch. I think at the end of the day, you know, the president's having a temper tantrum. His supporters are having a temper tantrum. This is a Democratic Republic. This is not Donald Trump's banana republic. And Joe Biden,
the banana republic. Also a thrilling
Joe
story.
Biden,
I'm also eating a banana right now.
On January 20th.
Sam McGrath-Pate, we want you to come back because we want to continue a conversation. The Supreme Court is hearing oral arguments in regards to Obamacare. What to expect, we discuss with Sam McGrath-Pate. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. We're joined again by our political expert, Samuel Garrett-Pate. Now, as we know, the Supreme Court today, with their conservative supermajority for the first real time in public view, is now hearing oral arguments on a challenge to Obamacare. What's going on? What do we need to keep our eyes on?
Sure. Well, President Trump, when he ran in 2016, argued that he would appoint justices who would overturn the Affordable Care Act. He believes that he has appointed three justices, giving a 6-3 majority on the Supreme Court, that will do so. Time will tell. But, you know, we did see a majority of Americans go out to the ballot box and vote for a president who said that he would not just protect the Affordable Care Act, but expand the Affordable Care Act to make sure that people get the health care coverage that they need, that they deserve, right? Joe Biden said, health care is a right, not a privilege. Donald Trump said, I want to overturn the Affordable Care Act. We saw how the American people voted. The Supreme Court could ostensibly strike down the Affordable Care Act. They'd be ruling against precedent, right? I think it would be unlikely that the Chief Justice would vote to strike down the Affordable Care Act just a few years after he, wrote the opinion upholding the Affordable Care Act. But it is possible, right? This is what we've been warning about. This is what we were warning about when Amy Coney Barrett was going through her confirmation process, was that Donald Trump was nominating someone who he believed would criminalize abortion, overturn marriage equality, and dismantle the Affordable Care Act. We know that those are beliefs that she holds. Can she convince four of her colleagues of the same? I think there are two, Clarence Thomas and Justice Samuel Alito, who very clearly hold views similar to Amy Coney Barrett. The question is, can they cobble together a majority of justices who feel more strongly about striking down the Affordable Care Act and ripping away health care from millions and millions of Americans than they do have a commitment to stare decisis or Supreme Court precedent? And that's an open question. And arguments are today. We'll try to read into what the justices say during oral arguments, but that can often be a fool's errand. Ultimately, we'll just have to wait and see how they rule. But this is what we've been warning about. And certainly for folks in Georgia who believe that health care, that everyone should have access to quality, affordable health care, have an opportunity on January 5th to vote for two senators who believe in the Affordable Care Act, believe in expanding affordable health care coverage, or two senators who believe in dismantling it.
It's just wild to me that something that has been the law of the land for 10 years now, right? It was in 2010, I believe, that the Affordable Care Act passed. During a pandemic would be the main focus of the Republican Party to steal, to rip away health care from 20 million Americans during a pandemic. That just, I still can't wrap my brain around how people can think that way.
So if you don't believe, if you live in Georgia, you've got an opportunity on January 5th to vote for, again, two senators who believe in the Affordable Care Act, believe in expanding health care coverage. That's John Ossoff or Raphael Warnock. Or two senators who want to dismantle it and are Trump loyalists who want to dismantle the Affordable Care Act. Or, should the Supreme Court strike it down, block Democrats from passing any sort of fix, right, to reinstate coverage for people. If you don't live in Georgia, you can't vote in that election, but you can sure as hell get involved in that election, right? We saw what happens in 2018, and in this election, in at the presidential level, we saw what happens when we come together, we work to get out the vote, we make calls, we text people, we reach out to our friends and family and make sure that they're registered, make sure that they're casting a ballot. And we saw in 2016 what happens when we sit at home, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a choice collectively. If we want to expand health care coverage during a pandemic or let the Supreme Court strike it down, we have a choice to elect senators who will protect and expand coverage or elect two senators in Georgia who will dismantle it.
Well, Sibagara Pete, we always appreciate you. On a very personal note, I think I speak for AJ and I both. Thank you for taking our texts, calls, DMs, yes. All of the things. We appreciate you advising us as always. Now, coming up, Johnny Depp was fired after a court case with his ex-wife, Amber Heard. It got settled, but what happens to the big bucks he's already been paid for a movie he was fired from? We have the details coming up in What's Poppin'.
It feels like it's been months of me fighting the urge to allow my partner to not just listen to Christmas music, but to watch Christmas movies.
Oh, no!
Because a lot of people think because we're in a pandemic, they kept their Christmas trees up from last year. It brings them joy, or they put them up already. My friends have already put their trees up. The day after Halloween, if it wasn't up, it's up now. I'm not about that life.
Yeah.
However, there are two things I love in this world beyond all. Outside of my family and blah, blah, all that stuff. I love live theater and I love Christmas. So this What's Poppin' is extra special for so many reasons. This is brought to you by California psychics Michaela Gordon. What is poppin'?
Okay, well, I don't know if you know this, but it was, I believe, the 10-year anniversary of Glee yesterday.
Okay.
If you can even imagine that. And that is where we met and fell in love with Matthew Morrison.
Mr. Shu.
He was hot.
Yeah.
So
I like
hot.
The curly hair. I thought about perming my hair at one point because of him, I think.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. So there's audio of him talking about the challenges we've been obviously facing during the pandemic, especially as we head into holiday season. Take a listen.
The While the pandemic presents some challenges in bringing the stage musical to life, we are putting together a really special show with some crazy, fun, imaginative things going on.
Okay, so you're like, what does that mean?
What stage
what
show?
What could be happening? And I'm so excited. We have watched a lot of our favorite movies go on like NBC Live, and you can watch it and be a part of it. One of my favorites that does it a lot is Vanessa Hudgens. Remember when she was in Rent? She
yes.
did the live production of
well,
Rent.
That was on Fox.
Network, but then sort of
but
the
NBC
same vibe.
Did Hairspray Live,
and then it was
and
amazing.
Then they did The Wiz, which had my friend Amber
yes,
Riley on there.
Totally.
So they're really good at this.
So take a listen to Matthew Morrison's new project.
Oh, hey everyone, Matthew Morrison here with some really fun news to share. NBC is going to bring Dr. Seuss's The Grinch musical to TV this December. And I will be playing the dastardly but lovable Grinch.
So
yes.
December 9th, you can see Matthew Morrison as the Grinch. Now, I don't know if I would have necessarily pegged him to play the Grinch. But now that I'm thinking about it, I'm sure he'll kill it.
Well, he has a long, long theater background. He's known in the Broadway world as a big voice, a big performer. He was actually on Hairspray on Broadway years ago. And he's done many, many shows since then. So it makes sense. But many of us just know him as Mr. Shu from Glee.
Yeah.
But if you think about that, that's almost like a musical in television form, Glee was.
1,000%. Yeah. All right. Well, this was brought to you by California Psychics. Now, listen, I had an amazing experience with California Psychics. And if you want an amazing experience, also just head to CaliforniaPsychics.com. We're coming into the holidays. We're looking for answers. Maybe you just want to know if you're going to be in a relationship, how your finances are doing. Head to CaliforniaPsychics.com. Or you can download the app and set up an account today, starting at only $1 per minute for new customers. Again, that's CaliforniaPsychics.com. Now, in our final hour, I love this story so much. It's about two middle schoolers really making a difference. But first, Doc Halligan joins us to discuss the ban lifted on pit bulls in Colorado and the White House possibly welcoming two new doggies in January and what that means. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Going to be in just a moment as the Supreme Court hears oral arguments on Obamacare. But in about 15 minutes from right now, we've got Doc Halligan, our celebrity veterinarian, calling in, talking about there's a pit bull ban and why she believes it should be lifted. The pit bulls get a bad rap. My brother's had pit bulls his entire life. They're really adorable dogs. So if you have one or if you're afraid of one, either way, you should probably listen to this conversation. She's fantastic. She just loves animals. Also, I might ask her for some last-minute advice because we might be days away from getting a dog.
You are days away from getting a dog.
It's
your
happening.
Boyfriend texted me yesterday, and then your boyfriend and my girlfriend blew up the group text.
I know.
Came back to 60 missed messages.
And then I told my mom, the first thing she said is, no, why? I'm like, Mom, I'm not a little kid anymore. I'm 40 years old. I can raise a dog.
Mama Kath, stop being a bad girl.
Well, she also told me you're her best friend now. She told me that last night, too.
Oh, we are. No, me and your mom are best friends.
Stay away from my mother.
Mama Kath, look at your DMs. I'm DMing you after I do this news.
All right, help us.
We don't need AJ to talk to us like
this. Do news on the beat. Stay away from my mom.
No, I'm so mad.
Go.
All right. What news?
Obamacare, Supreme Court.
Yeah, no, I know.
No big deal.
I was thinking about Mama Kath.
My mother.
I love her so much.
My mother.
The Supreme Court will meet today to discuss mine. Whether to invalidate the entire Affordable Care Act in perhaps the most consequential case of the term. The case is brought by a coalition of Republican-led states and the Trump administration who argue the law's individual mandate is unconstitutional and the entire law must fall. Wiping away Obamacare would have a sweeping impact on the nation's healthcare system and on the lives of tens of millions of Americans. That includes the roughly 20 million people who've gained coverage on the Affordable Care Act exchanges and through the expansion of Medicaid to low-income adults, as well as nearly 54 million people with pre-existing conditions. Today will mark the third time the court has heard a significant challenge to the law.
Well, the USA Today just released an article about 22 minutes ago saying that the Supreme Court appeared likely Tuesday to uphold the Affordable Care Act based on reports we're getting out of, because they are hearing those arguments right now.
Yeah.
The way they're asking questions and responding is insinuating that they're in the mindset now, for the third time in the last, 8 years now, to uphold the Affordable Care Act. So we'll keep an eye on this for sure.
We will. This is also really important news. It's not in the documents here that I have in my computer. It's kind of breaking news,
are you
actually.
Just breaking the fourth wall right now and letting everybody know that you have documents?
Yeah.
Very important documents.
Barbara Walters has documents. I can have documents.
Oh, God.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with a little social media app called Twitter. But Eric Trump likes to use it.
Oh, God, this is good.
He wanted everybody to know, hey, Minnesota, get out there and vote.
Today.
And it came out today. And everyone said, Eric, what happened, bud? And he
Oh, my God, you literally just talked to him like the SNL character.
Yeah. Hey, bud.
Hey, bud.
And then what happened was he scheduled it for this week
instead,
when he meant to schedule it for last week. So he's encouraging voters to still go out, Minnesota, and get out there and vote.
You can't make this stuff up.
You can't.
Like, we're still celebrating the press briefing by Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, my God. That was
between the crematorium and the sex shop.
Shop.
In the backyard behind, in front of a garage.
I'm going to just say that.
And a landscaping.
I'm going to be the one to say it. I'm going to miss the Trump administration. What will I laugh about? What will I chuckle about?
You know what you can do instead?
What?
Watch Veep. Watch every season of Veep on HBO Max.
But
you're fine.
But this is just so much more authentic.
They're very similar.
Honestly, I can look at the Trump administration and I'm like, oh my God, someone is dumber than me.
Well, because,
I can't believe it.
But that's the frustrating part. How do you guys have this much power in your family if your dad is $1 billion in debt or $400 million, whatever it is, and you can't figure out how to schedule a tweet properly or a press conference?
To be fair, social media is hard to navigate. However,
oh, honey,
you have like a whole team, Eric. If you don't know how to do it, hire somebody to do it.
Well, that's what makes
me
wonder if it's somebody from his team, too,
yeah,
trying to sabotage him. Like the same person who maybe gave Melania that speech a few years ago that was really Michelle Obama's.
Oh, my God.
Like somebody's inside, this
it.
Is hilarious.
This is so funny.
Do you really think there's nefarious people? Come on. This is the same people that scheduled something at the Four Seasons Landscaping and Garden Center across from the crematorium.
No, I will say this, and I'm speaking for myself, not for Channel Q or for Entercom or anybody involved. I'm speaking solely for myself here. I just think they're all idiots. I think they're really, really dumb. Genuinely. Ivanka, maybe not so much. I think Ivanka's...
Ivanka might be a lesbian, and I'm so into it.
But that's a whole different thing. I live for that. She and Jared, they're smart. They're not stupid. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't agree with them.
Right.
I think Eric is just dumb.
Yeah.
I think he's just like his dad.
Well, he also apparently has, major, major issues with Barron. He's, jealous of Barron.
Of course.
And I think that,
we've heard that that Melania is jealous of Ivanka. Tiffany's jealous of everybody.
And you guys, if you don't know what news source this comes from, it's coming from Danity Kane's Aubrey O'J. So it's obviously very, very
Who is in a long-term relationship with Don Jr., though, so her information might not be that far off.
Listen, I think that Aubrey O'J is a hot mess, but I don't see her lying on Eric Trump or the rest of the Trumps.
Was
for
it
any
Eric?
Reason.
How was Don Jr.?
Don Jr. Donnie.
Don Jr.
Donnie boy.
Eric's married, right? I believe so.
To Laura.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, the one that ran the Trump Pride Parade.
Oh, yeah.
I've had enough. This month has just worn me out.
I mean, okay, here's the thing. God love him. Even if you're a supporter, at some point you have to be like, is this all real? Like, what is this?
Oh, God.
It's just comedic to me.
Here's what I'm going to do now. The weather, because that's all I seem to be able to get to.
Great.
We're doing 59 in Vegas. We're doing 59
in Vegas.
We've scheduled a nice, cool 59 in Vegas.
It's like a bingo caller. Oh, 59 in Vegas.
I've thrown out a quick 70 in Palm Springs today. Oh, look at that. A high of 81 in Houston. And here's a little tidbit of 46 in Kansas City.
This is the time of the year where America's weather just seems a bit bipolar. It's sort of all over the place.
Oh, like the Trump administration?
Come on.
Okay, I didn't say that.
Like you.
Justin did.
Okay. No matter what happens in life, be good to people. Maybe we need to take this advice right now. Being good to people is a wonderful legacy to leave behind. The words of Taylor Swift never rang more true.
Oh my God, now we're quoting Taylor Swift.
This is Donald Trump is our president. Taylor Swift can be our inspiration. America 2020.
Oh God. Just take us out.
Cut our mics.
Tongan.
Okay, so we came across this article recently and it made me think. Apparently 30 years ago, the city of Denver, Colorado put a ban on owning pit bulls.
Hello?
Turn her on. Did a little more research and turns out there are over 700 cities, roughly 700 cities in the United States where similar bans exist. Now, my brother has had pit bulls his entire life. I grew up with him. They're some of the sweetest, kindest, most loving dogs, but they get a really bad rap. So, we thought... For this week's version of Talking Pets with our celebrity veterinarian Doc Halligan,
and a celebrity she is,
who's on the line right now. We would ask her about this ban and why they still exist.
First of all, good morning, Doc Halligan. Thank you for liking.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me on. Well, breed banning has existed in the United States for a long time, and the sad truth is, it's not the breeds. I can honestly say, after being a shelter vet, a vet for 33 years, that I have never had an aggressive pit bull puppy, okay? They're actually very kind of docile. Now, I can't just say the same for terrier, Dalmatian. At 8 weeks, having these puppies be reactive and acting naughty already. See, so my point is that if you have a puppy that's in an environment and it's a little insecure, it's not socialized right, they'll develop bad behaviors.
Oh, and so they'll be naughty little babies.
Well, it sounds like
I can honestly say that, like, about 2 months ago, I had a lady with a little expensive terrier that she brought in that was snarling, and I said to her, you need to work with this puppy. And 3 months later, it's a different dog. And she put a lot of effort into it. But I'm going to say it again, I've never had a pit puppy or a pit mix puppy act like that, because their personalities, they're just kind of more easygoing. But that being said, they can go from 0 to 100 in a minute. Okay. They have the potential to become aggressive, but it's because of who's caring for them.
Well, it sounds like describing Michaela.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I relate so much to pit bulls. Lift my ban.
Well, it also sounds sort of like that pit bulls have just had a bad publicist for a few decades, and it sounds like Dalmatians had a great one. We think of Dalmatians, we think of like 101 Dalmatians, these poor little puppies.
Yeah, Cruella was awful to them. It was Cruella's fault. God,
the meanest puppy I ever had was an 8-week-old Dalmatian, and I told the owner, you need to take this dog back to the breeder. It was horrendous.
Oh, wow.
And it was...
horrendous how? What was it doing?
It was just like Cujo. 8-week-old puppy.
She said Cujo.
What? Yeah. So, I mean, but that's the thing. Let me just say, you know, being a shelter vet, treating thousands of these pits, you know, and you see these pictures on Facebook and Instagram. We have a baby latching onto the lips of a dog, and they're trying to say, look, see, pits aren't bad. First of all, you should never have a baby around the mouth of any dog. It's just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
And so, you know, whenever there's, you know, people getting bit or children getting bit by an animal, if you do the research, okay, it's always the fault of the owner, always, because you do have an animal with teeth that can accidentally be provoked sometimes, and then they end up, you know, being touted as this vicious animal. And so I'm so glad that we're talking about this, because you can't ban breeds. It's not the breed.
Okay, can I selfishly ask her a question?
Yes, but then I need to tell her something.
Oh, tell her. Go ahead, okay. Michaela.
No, ladies first.
Okay, thank you. So, Doc Halligan, I know we've talked about this for months. I think that my partner and I are days away from having a dog of our own.
Okay, but also, Doc Halligan, tell him to get over himself, because he's been saying this, and I'm ready.
Next time we do an interview, you're going to be a pet owner.
I think so. Okay, so we're looking for something that is small enough for an 1,100 square foot apartment, but also big enough to, like, roughhouse with us and cuddle with us a little bit, that doesn't shed too much or, like, eat up our couch, but that we just love and adore, and that's, like, has a personality.
Okay. And who also apparently speaks 5 languages.
Yeah, okay, but we're thinking maybe like a 25-pound dog or so.
Okay, okay.
Any thoughts?
Wonderful. Well, there's so many breeds that come to mind. All the mixes come to mind.
We want something that looks like a little labradoodle but isn't as crazy.
Yeah, a little lab mix would be great.
That would be so cute.
Okay.
Yes, because labs are mixed with so many different breeds.
Oh, they're so sweeties.
And they have the best personality. I had a chocolate lab named Duke, and people thought, I feel like I gave birth to that dog. Okay. Oh. I think my husband left me because of my relationship to the dog, but that's another story.
It happens.
Well, speaking of relationships with dogs, I would like to tell you that on Friday, Lisa chose a film for us to watch. She doesn't usually choose films, and now I know why. She made us watch A Dog's Journey. Have you seen it?
Yes, I know the story.
Okay.
It's just heartbreaking.
When I tell you that I sobbed for 2 hours, then took myself into the shower and sobbed in the shower. This is a film that I highly recommend. 10 stars across the board.
She's been talking about all week. I do want to let you know that my brother-in-law Jerry from Kentucky, he's going to hate me for saying Kentucky. He's like, I live in Cincinnati. He lives in Kentucky.
Right.
He just texted me.
My first boyfriend was from Bowling Green. I just wanted him to know that.
Kentucky?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Well, he just texted me to let me know that his bulldog Scarlett's middle name is Cujo. Trouble.
Well, for more information, any questions you have, go to DocHalligan.com. Of course, your podcast, Unleashed. You're amazing. We love you. We love talking with you.
I love you guys, too.
Stay safe.
Thanks for the opportunity to enlighten pet owners.
Of course. Thank you for enlightening me, the pet owner, and soon-to-be pet owner.
Stop crying over that movie.
I'm so surprised how much I have in common with pit bulls. What a time to be alive.
Not shocked.
Now, coming up, I love this story. There are two middle schoolers making the most out of this pandemic, and they've involved their entire school. Hear them interview with us. They're so cute. Coming up in 2 minutes.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. And we're going to do something a little bit differently today. We're going to highlight a couple of young men who are doing something really cool for their high school. They attend Paul Revere High School out here in Brentwood, California, here in Southern California. And they decided to turn things around a little bit, to flip the script on this coronavirus pandemic and do something really cool. So please welcome to the program, Brett and Charlie. Fellas, thanks for being here. Tell us about this video and how you came up with the concept.
So basically what our yearbook teacher, Mr. Wexler, told us is that he wanted us to make a video of like telling everybody that, yes, we're in a pandemic, but everything's going to be okay. Like, we'll eventually come back to school. So we asked all of the students at our school to send in like happy videos, and we were just going to make a whole video of like fun things. And like with all the stuff that's happening right now in our world, we just wanted to make it really diverse. So we have like a lot of different, Charlie, you can go.
Yeah, so we really just wanted to make it all the kids in the school, not just certain kids, all ethnicities, because there's so many different groups and varieties of people who go to our school because it is such a big school. So we just really wanted to make it a video where people could watch it if they're having a bad day and really like lift their spirits and make them feel better.
I mean, it's amazing because in high school, I was trying to like figure out my prom gown. I wasn't putting videos together of my whole school and, you know, showcasing the diversity in a pandemic. What was the most exciting part for you when you put it together? Also, your two little faces are so cute. I want to see in person. God, I can't even help it. You're so sweet.
Yeah, so I just really enjoyed getting all the different videos and seeing all the different like kids at our school. Being like seeing that they took time out of their day to be able to do something fun, even though they're probably like not having fun right now. They're sad that they can't be at school and be with all their friends. So being able to see that everyone's taking time to make these joyful videos and clips to put into the video that we made.
The fun thing for me was definitely when the video got shared to the website. It's on our school website now. And just like getting like text messages or like social media messages of people just saying, wow, like that was amazing. That was powerful. And it was a really nice thing. And I really liked the video.
Listen, fellas, I really admire what you're doing. Listen, I'm also a white guy, so I get it. I get what it's like to be like the face of the thing that, you know, many people have a problem with right now. But I think it's so awesome when you use your voice as an ally to support other people who might be different. What is it about your generation, you think, that is so much more open to diversity and showing it off in a way that maybe my generation was not?
Well, I think that definitely the platform of social media, I feel like almost everybody in a school now has social media. So it's so easy for people to like share different things about like BLM and the LGBTQ community. So I think social media, like something you guys didn't have, is really like what spreads that.
First of all, I'm young enough to have had it, Brett. You were really on my good side, and now you're trying to...
She's old. Ignore her. She's old.
I definitely think it's just social media, how people can share things so quick, and it's like a split second. Everyone in the world could see something. So it's just everything spreads so much faster. So it's easier to get things out there.
Well, we want to know where people can go to see the video, but for other people that may be really inspired that are in high school and they really want to make a difference, sometimes when you're a teenager, you feel like you can't make that big of a difference. What advice would you give to them if they want to make a video or make some changes in their high schools?
I would say just reach out to a teacher or a teacher that you think like is important to that school. Like maybe for us, it was our yearbook teacher. So ask them like what they think of the idea, put like a presentation together of what you want to accomplish. And I think asking the students, like maybe putting like a poll or something on the website, would you be interested in like participating in a video or helping edit it? I think that's a really good way to spread it.
Yeah, definitely. Just, and with YouTube and how everyone has a phone that's better than most cameras, just film it and go for it. It's definitely a small chance of it like succeeding really big on YouTube, but you never know. People blow up like crazy over like people never knowing them. So go for it. Just film a video on your iPhone and just post it to YouTube, and you never know what will happen.
And also, I'm going to tell you, gentlemen, if one person sees it and it makes them change their mind about a bad decision they were going to make, or you know, makes them feel a little bit less lonely, you guys should be really proud of that. I wish we had social media back in your era, in my era, when I was your guys' age hundreds of years ago. But what you're doing is really dope, and I commend you for that. So thank you for taking some time to chat with us.
Yeah, thank
Good job, guys. Tell them where they can visit it, the website. What website they can go to see the video?
So if you look up Paul Revere Middle School. Sorry, it's middle school, not high school.
Oh, wow. You guys are that young. You're awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I thought you were high schoolers.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh my God, you're even more amazing. You know what? I just figure like once you're a teen, it's like high school. I forgot that you could just
be
middle school. That's amazing.
Yeah. So anyway, you go to Paul Revere Charter Middle School and you click on the website and it's the first thing that comes up.
Yeah. And there's also a YouTube. It's Paul Revere Middle School YouTube. You can also find it on there.
Well, I love how inspired you guys were by your high school teacher. I think that's awesome. It's pretty awesome, too, that our new first lady is going to be a working high school teacher, the first lady in the history of our country who is going to have a full-time job because she loves teaching students like you guys so much. So you guys are a testament to all the good things going on with our youth right now. So thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, those boys are so cute, and you can check out the video at wearechannelq.com. I can't believe they're middle schoolers. It's still just unreal to me. So smart. Now, coming up, we said goodbye to the legendary Alex Trebek this weekend, but the positive messages keep flowing. We share these heartfelt moments coming up in Tell Me Something Good next.
Tell me something good.
We will do just that. It's important to stay positive through these trying, uncertain times. So here are three inspirational stories to lift you up and send you off into your day. This is coming out of France, this first story. There was a woman there. Her name was Muriel. She owned a floral shop, right? During the pandemic, not a lot of people ordering flowers. Not a lot of people giving out flowers. So her shop, unfortunately, closed. Now, instead of throwing away all the flowers, she decided to do something really cool. She made bouquets and she took them to a local hospital. She said, listen, these times are trying. Instead of crying over this, why not make some other people smile instead? So she did just that. She's fantastic. I love when people, she would lay them on people's cars. So they went out to their car.
That's
at the end
so
of the day.
Sweet.
Yeah, because you can't go into the hospital and just hand them out during a pandemic. So she made these bouquets and they put these in these little baskets with her mask on and went around and dropped them on the cars of frontline workers, nurses, doctors, people taking care of patients. So when they ended their long, long shift, sometimes 20 plus hours, they walk out to their car and they have some fresh flowers from her.
I love that.
How cool is that?
I have to tell you, flowers are like my love language. Stargazer lilies are my favorite.
Oh, I know. You always have some.
You know I love them. And they were Vivian's favorite. And I think the smell, everything, they're just beautiful. So flowers, I think, would brighten everybody's day.
Yes, I'm here for it.
Okay, this story is amazing. So a guy in Florida, a young man, became the first person with Down syndrome to cross the finish line in the Ironman triathlon.
Oh, I saw this.
Is this crazy?
So good.
It includes swimming 2.4 miles, cycling 112 miles, and running a 26.2 mile marathon. Let me tell you, you got in my car this morning because I wanted to pick you up because I can't get enough of you. And I said, I ran 3.5 miles. I thought that was cool yesterday.
But then you admitted you admitted that you took breaks.
First of all, I didn't say that on air. Just keep it together.
Ironman is no joke.
It's so difficult. And I think it's incredible because his name is Chris and he was able to do this, and it's a big deal because sometimes with a genetic disorder, it can cause developmental delays physically and mentally. Not that he's not capable, because obviously he is, but sometimes it just causes
the
a little
mental
bit of delays.
Toughness required to do something like this. I was on the island of Kona a few years back, and they have a big Ironman there every year. And we were there the week before the competition, and people were training all over the island. And much of that island is black lava rock, like hard. And so it's a very hot island. It's not as lush as some of the other Hawaiian islands. And then also we are paddleboarding in the bay where they actually do the swimming portion of the Ironman there. And there were countless people out there practicing, you know, preparing for this. And we were swimming with baby dolphins. They were swimming for an Ironman, which I couldn't even imagine. I'm thrilled if I can get through a 5K run.
Yeah, listen.
I do one of those every few years and I feel like I'm set.
I'm thrilled if I can just get to the gym once a week.
Amen.
But we've been going. We've been dedicated, me and you.
All right. So ever since the passing of Alex Trebek, people are sharing how he touched their lives. He did touch so many. Obviously, he passed on November 8th at the age of 80. He announced in 2019 that he had fallen ill. But immediately after news was announced, the internet went wild. One man said, "This happened a few days ago. It's hard to describe how powerful that show is at connecting people. What a life." And it's a video of them. Maybe we can put this on our website. You want to go check this out at wearechannelq.com. You can see some of these videos that are shared from social media of after the cameras go off, Alex Trebek standing there and talking to the contestants and just having like real life conversations with them and showing that he's so, like I've told you, I've interviewed him. He's one of the most kind, gentle people I've ever met in my life. He has touched the lives of so many. And literally, go to wearechannelq.com. Check this out. There are all sorts of links to internet videos and tweets about the life of Alex Trebek. He will obviously be missed. But we have a chance to celebrate him now through Christmas Day, because apparently Jeopardy had filmed episodes all the way up until December 25th. So we have just over a month to celebrate the life and the career of Alex Trebek.
I love it.
We know him best for Jeopardy, but he's been around for decades before that.
I mean, I know him best for sitting with my grandma and papa, and my papa yelling all the names wrong.
Everything wrong.
Just all never got it right. But yeah. You know what? R.I.P. Papa. R.I.P. Alex. I hope they're playing Jeopardy now in heaven.
Aww.
Well, we have a great show for you tomorrow. As always, I mean, we're just going to continue the conversation of what's happening in the news world, including a lap dance that was offered for the highest bidder and a little hot tub time, definitely coming out of the Trump administration. So we'll be very excited to talk about that. Until then, wash your hands, wear your mask. As always, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.